الحمد لله الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Khwaja Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh has mentioned that there are approximately 15 areas in and around Masjid al-Haram in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of an individual. Approximately 15 areas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq and the rest of the creation is makhluq. From his entire creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves insan, human beings. And from human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are believers, those who are mu'mineen, those who have submitted and surrendered themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the servants to come close to Him. And this great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ummah is the gift of dua, or the gift of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an opportunity to individuals. If they have been disobedient for 15, 20 years, then all they have to do is repent, lift up the hands with sincerity, and make amal on the ayat of Tawbatan Nasuha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all their sins. In the hadith, it comes that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with a group of companions, and he noticed that there was this one lady running from one side to another side and running madly without taking care of her safety, as if she was bewitched. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that this lady has lost her child. Imagine when you lose your child in the city of Bombay, where there is no night, people are on the streets. Every little area of Bombay is worth a lot. And if your little one is lost, imagine the difficulty, imagine the pain that parents have to put up with. Here the mother is running from one side to another side. We saw the Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anhu running from Safa to Marwa 7 times because of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And eventually she found the child, and naturally she hugged the child, kissing the child, tears of joy were coming out. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is witnessing that entire scene, and he said to the companions, he said that, can any one of you imagine for this lady to throw her child in a fire? Ye aurat apne is bacche ko aag mein phenk sakti hai? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, how will a mother want to throw her child in a fire? And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that this love that the mother has expressed for her child is nothing compared to the love that Allah has with the believers. Allah does not wish that His servants, mu'mineen and muslimeen, should enter Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a lot of opportunities. and the door of Tawbah is open for them. And this is what Hazrat Khaja Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said. A lot of people who go for Umrah, a lot of people who go for Hajj, it's just another holiday, excursion trip. And even when you are doing Tawaf, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, your eyes are wandering everywhere. And you have women who also do Tawaf, and the shaitan is also there. And looking at women whilst doing Tawaf, perhaps there's no other guna equivalent to that. We have to take extreme caution, and we have to be extremely careful. In fact, some of the ulama have said that the women should not do Tawaf when there are a lot of men there, to make it easy for both, for the women and men. Al-Khaja rahmatullah alayhi says that the very first area in Masjid al-Haram where generally the dua is always accepted is in the area of the mataf, the area where tawaf is done. So when you do tawaf and when you make dua in the condition of tawaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. That is why you look down, full concentration. And how should we do tawbah or dua? A lot of the times, if physically we are there making dua, then spiritually we are not connected to Allah. We have lifted up our hands, but the mind is adrift somewhere else. And sometimes spiritually we are there, but we have no adab of making dua. And physically we don't know how to lift up the hands and sit in that posture of being totally humble to Allah and make dua. So the mind, the body, spiritually, physically, mentally, we have to have that full level of concentration and to connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama say that make dua in such a way that you yourself feel content, that after making dua you feel that no, Allah has surely accepted my dua. It is a kafiyat, it is a feeling that is born into the heart, that when you cry, when you make dua in front of Allah, you feel content, you feel happy, you feel that no, Allah will do justice to me, Allah will give me what I have asked. And this is the dua, this is tawbat al-nasuha. Sahaba kiram ajma'een, this was their condition. They would not realize of anything. In their salat, they were connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody could come, so many stories, kuffar come and stab the companion from the back with a knife, with a blade, with a sword. And there he is still in salat, not realizing anything. Completely connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meri aapki namaz ka kya haal hai, mere azizah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So when you are doing tawaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely accepts your dua. And this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reason why, because there's a very high level of a concentration of mercy, rahmat descending in that area on the Kaaba and in and around the Kaaba. So generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua. And one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, 20 mi'ata rahmatin tanzilu ala hadha al-bayt. 120 mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat, mercy yani rahmat, descends on the Kaaba every day and every night. 120 rahmat Allah ki khane Kaaba ke upar nazil hoti. 120 types of rahmat. Subhanallah. 60 للطائفين, and 60 blessings and rahmah goes to those who do tawaf of the Kaaba. Ajeeb. Ek buzurg the, Hazrat Qarz bin Wagar rahmatullah alayh, and he, subhanallah, was a wali, and he would do atikaf in Masjid al-Haram. He was seen there all the time. His entire life was with Masjid al-Haram. It is said that it was his karamat that every day, day and night, he would complete 140 tawaf.
Mashallah.
140. So perhaps we can't even imagine that. 70 in the night, 70 in the morning. Every time you'd see him, he would always be there walking round and round and round. And after each complete tawaf, two rak'ats, times that, 280 rak'ats ka sawab in 24 hours. And 70 times 70, when you count, is equivalent to approximately 30 miles around the Kaaba walking daily. 30 miles. And not only that, he was hafiz of the Quran. It is said that he would complete one entire Quran.
MashaAllah.
60 rahmats, subhanallah, for those who do tawaf. 40 lil musallin, and 40 goes to those who perform their salat in Masjidul Haram. 40, subhanallah. Wa 20 lil nazirin, and 20 mercy rahmats goes to those who just view, sit, and just look at the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. It's a great act of deed. Like I mentioned, subhanallah, five things just to see them, it is sawab. Zamzam, Kaaba, Quran, the face of parents, and the face of Maulana Zulfiqar Shah. And the face of Maulana Zulfiqar Shah, subhanallah. And the face of scholars that come, and the face of ulama that come here, subhanallah, when you look at their faces, it is rewarding, it is sawab. Subhanallah. Bhai jaise bhi hai, Allah ke bande hai aur nek log hai, unke chehre ko dekhne ka sawab hi sawab hai. That is why some of the ulama have said that if you will notice that a lot of the mashayikh and buzrugan-e-deen and scholars, what they will do is they will sit in front of the mataf and they will just look at the Kaaba. And the reward of that is equivalent to that individual who fasts during the day and worships Allah all night.
Allah.
That is the reward for that individual who sits for 5 minutes to view and see the beautiful Kaaba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to build. Kitni bari rahmat. That is why in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said, Muslims will be given security, Muslims will be honorable people when they honor the city of Makkah and when they honor the Kaaba. And if they dishonor the Kaaba and dishonor the city of Makkah, Muslims will be destroyed. And it seems that today we Muslims don't honor and respect the Kaaba like how we should. And respecting and to have honor of the Kaaba means to save yourselves whilst you're in Masjidul Haram, not from things that are of a sinful nature, but anything that is of an undesirable act, karahiyat, anything that is makruh also, one should avoid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will give strength to the Muslimin and you will see Islam flourish. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when the ummah will honor the Kaaba and Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give izzat to the Muslimin. And when they dishonor the Kaaba and Makkah, then they will be humiliated. In the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said that the day of Qiyamah will not come until Hajar al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim are lifted up in the heavens. And one of the signs of Qiyamah, and this will take place right at the end, is when the Abyssinians attack the city of Makkah. And it is said that the army that they will have at that time will be so large that the front section of the army will be in Masjidul Haram where Hajar al-Aswad is, and the last section of the army will be in Jeddah where the coast is, where the sea is. And they will break the Kaaba brick by brick. And this will take place right at the end, and this is in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to honor the Kaaba. To honor the Kaaba, subhanallah, it is honoring the Quran and is to honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, a grand Sahabi, in the year 64 Hijri, Yazid was the enemy of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair took refuge in Masjid al-Haram, and he came with an army and put the city of Makkah into siege. And subhanallah, being a Muslim, what he did is that arrows of fire were showered into Masjid al-Haram from the outside via a catapult. And it is said that the walls of Kaaba were broken, destroyed, and also the cloth was burnt. And in that siege, eventually Yazid died, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an was free to go. And at that time, in the year 64 Hijri, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an was that grand Sahabi who reconstructed the Kaaba in accordance to the wish of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with two entries to the Kaaba, one in the front and one at the back. It is also said that until that period of time, the year 65 Hijri, when the construction of Kaaba was completed, there were also the horns of that animal, that sheep, that Allah gave to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the sheep that came from Jannah. The horns of that animal were also in the Kaaba. But because of that fire, it is said that the horns were also destroyed, and they were never ever to be found after that. After completing the construction of the Kaaba, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala invited all of the people of Makkah towards a great feast. It is said 100 camels were sacrificed at that time. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we honor the Kaaba, that we honor the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So when you do tawaf, make sure you do a lot of dua and with great adab, especially when it comes to intermingling with women. We have to be very, very careful. Inna shaytana lakum aduwwun fattakhidhuhu aduwwa. Shaytan is your enemy. Don't compromise with the shaytan. Take him to be your enemy. And even at times when you feel that you are in an act of ibadat, he wants to take points and cut away things away from you, and he wants you to indulge in sin. And this is how he does it. That is why in Jummah I did not complete. A lot of people have a lot of wealth, but yet they want to delay the performance of Hajj. They annually go for Umrah. Every year they go for Umrah. They have the money. And if you compare the price of a package in the month of Ramadan, and also you get competitive prices, and for your Hajj, the ulama say it's najais for an individual to go for Umrah if he has not done his farz Hajj and he has the means. And this is what shaitan does. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Stops him from performing Hajj. Why? Because Hajj is farz. And he thinks that if I perform Hajj, I have to change. And I am a bit too young to change. So he wants to delay it. So when I'm 45, when I'm 50, that is the time I will do my Hajj. But for the time being, I will just do my Umrah. And that is not jais. If you have the wealth and if your family members have not done Hajj, you have to do your Hajj. Once you have done your Hajj, then you are free. Then the fuqaha say, then if you want to go in 1 year, 3 times, 4 times, that is entirely up to you. If you go with khulus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your Umrah and also your Hajj. But this is the tartib. So to maintain the adab when you make ziyarah, when you are in Masjid al-Haram, it is extremely important. Hazrat Khaja Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi says that the second area where the dua is accepted is in the zone of al-multazim. Multazim, to get there is quite an effort. MashaAllah. And multazim is located in between the door of Kaaba and Hajr al-Aswad. And just today when I was saying to someone the method of how you should do dua when you are there in front of the Multazim, he says, well, the Saudi government does not allow you to worship or repent in that manner. I said, no, that is wrong. If you go there, you will see a lot of people stand in that manner. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, in his time, what he did is he went to the Multazim and he turned his cheek, and the side of his cheek was on the wall of Kaaba, and his hands were lifted up and his entire body was touching the wall of the Kaaba, and he was crying and weeping and repenting and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that he said, هَكَذَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَفْعَلُ. That this is how Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam stood on the Multazim, saying that this is the sunnah. I have seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. So any time and every time you get an opportunity, my respected brothers, don't just think, a lot of times we feel that, oh, there's a lot of people there, so we should, takleef is haram, no doubt, but at least we should also make an effort, possibly, maybe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your sincerity, will push you there, and you will get there, and you will make dua, and the ulama say, a lot of the muhaddiseen were of this habit, that whenever they wanted to make dua and they wished for something to be completed, they would wait, make ziyarah of Masjid al-Haram, go towards Multazim and then make dua, and it is said that guaranteed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept the dua. So that is the method. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith here, of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Al-Multazamu mawzi'un yustajabu fihi ad-dua. Multazam is a place where your dua is accepted. وَمَا دَعَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدٌ إِلَّا اسْتَجَابَهَا. Whenever a person prays and supplicates to Allah at this spot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him his prayer. The third area where your dua is accepted is towards Ruknul Yamani. Ruknul Yamani, there are a lot of four corners to the Kaaba. And the corner that comes before Hajarul Aswad is Ruknul Yamani. And if you get an opportunity just to touch that corner, this is what the Fuqaha say. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that for those who follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, it is preferable for them just to touch the Rukn and to walk after that towards Hajarul Aswad. And if you do dua there, if an opportunity is given to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. Why? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وُكِّلَ بِهِ سَبْعُونَ مَلَكًا. 70 angels are placed over it. Kitne? If 70 angels are at Rukne Yamani, imagine how many angels must be there at the point of Hajarul Aswad, including the Saudi police. Kitne malaika honge bhai? If Ruknul Yamani has 70, how many at the point of Hajarul Aswad? Subhanallah. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when you make dua, they qalu ameen. The angels listen to your dua and they say ameen. Subhanallah. We are very neglectful. A lot of the Muslims, when they make ziyarat, we miss all the opportunities. In Madinatul Munawwara also, and also in the city of Makkah. And all these opportunities are missed out. And that is why in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the prescribed dua in the hadith, Allahumma inna as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. O Allah, I ask from you Afwa. Afwa means that Allah, you give me pardon. You give me pardon. Wa as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah, and afiyah, safety and security from all dangers in this dunya and also in the hereafter. What a beautiful dua. That is why in Islam, the ulama say that one should not ask for sabr. One should not ask for sabr. One should ask for afiyah. You haven't got the capacity to make sabr. You must only do sabr. If taklif comes to you, then you have to do sabr. And that is what is in the Quran. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are patient. But when when taklif comes to you, then be patient. But don't ask from Allah to do sabr. That is why some of the ulama have said that sabira for a lady is not the right name. Sabira is not the right name. That name is not right. Allahu alam, this is the opinion of some of the scholars. So it should be al-afu al-afiyah, and Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has said, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Allah, give us all those, everything that is righteous in this dunya and everything that is righteous in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the hereafter. The Ruknul Yamani par bhi dua kabul ho jati hai. Or fir Hajarul Aswad. How many points are there? 15. 15 maqamat. Hajarul Aswad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lahu aynan yubsiru bihima wa lisanun yantiku bih. Hajarul Aswad on the day of Qiyamah will have two eyes with which it will see. And Hajarul Aswad on the day of Qiyamah will have a tongue with which it will speak out. يَشْهَدُوا عَلَى مَنِ اسْتَلَمَهُ, and it will bear witness in favor of all those who have kissed it with sincerity, with ikhlas, in good faith. It will give witness that so and so person has kissed me, and it will do shafa'at of that individual. Subhanallah. And if you make dua at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept your dua. That is why the ulama and the mashayikh, muhaddiseen, have said that when you kiss Hajarul Aswad, the dua you should make is, Allahumma imanan bika wa tasdeekan kitabika wa wafa'an bi ahdika. O Allah, we have complete iman on you, and we believe in the kitab that you have revealed, and Allah, we will fulfill the pledge that we have committed ourselves to. This is the dua. The ulama have said that if you kiss Hajarul Aswad, insha'Allah ta'ala, death will come to you in the condition of iman. Kitne logo ne Hajarul Aswad ko bosa diya yahan par? Haath uthaye zara. Hajarul Aswad ko directly. MashaAllah, Hafiz. Wahan to dentist ki zarurat hoti hai Hajarul Aswad mein, bhai. Bheer hoti hai sakht. And if you can't do istilam, if you can't do istilam, the ulama say the reason for that is because this stone is not earthly, this stone is from Jannah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the stone of Maqam Ibrahim and Hajar al-Aswad are two rubies of Jannah. That is why earlier on I said that the day of Qiyamah will not come until Allah has lifted up the words of the Quran, and Allah has taken from this dunya also Hajarul Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim. And one of the signs of Qiyamah, great scholars will die at a very young age. A lot of the elite scholars will die. Bahut kam umar, bahut kam umar. Aur Pakistan mein dekh le ulama. 30, 35, 40, all of them become shaheed very quickly in Pakistan. 30, 35, 40. One of the signs of Qiyamah, until the only people that will be left will be the juhala. Dallu fa adallu. They themselves will have no knowledge, they will be astray, and also the community will be misguided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he kissed Hajarul Aswad, that is why the muhaddithin have said that when you kiss Hajarul Aswad, your aqaid, your iman also becomes very, very strong. And the dalil of this is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he kissed the black stone, these are his words. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar ala ma hadana wa la ilaha illallah. In the name of Allah, Allah the Great One, who has guided us, there is no God but Allah, who is one, la sharika lah, and there is no one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one only. Allah, amantu billah, I bring iman on Allah, and it is said that the mushrikeen of Makkah were around him at that time, looking at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he looked at the kuffar, Hazrat Umar, and he would say, وَكَفَرْتُ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالتَّاغُوتِ وَاللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةِ. And I disbelieve in all the idols of the Meccans. I have hatred, and I have enmity with Lat and Uzza, the idols that were here once upon a time. وَمَا بِدَعْيِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and all of those deities that these people take into account other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I reject all of them. And he would say, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. At the point of Hajar al-Aswad, when you kiss, if you can go back, and if you can find a place, if it's your final going around the Kaaba, final aapka chakkar ho, and you sit at the back and make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. And another point where your dua is accepted is at the point of Zamzam. Alhamdulillah, one entire session was dedicated to the virtues of Zamzam. It is sufficient for me just to say that the great virtue of Zamzam is the fact that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with Dai Halima, and two angels came and they opened up the chest of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an open heart surgery, and the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken out, and the water that was used to wash the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not the water of Kawthar, was not the water of anything else in the heavens, in Jannah, or from the Nahar, rivers of Jannah. The water that was used was Zamzam.
Subhanallah.
That is why Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said, a believer when he drinks, Allah gives him the capacity to take in a lot of Zamzam. But that who is a munafiq, he can't sip the Zamzam a lot. When he drinks the Zamzam, he will quickly be full and he will say, that is enough. That is the difference between a mu'min and a munafiq. A believer will want to drink Zamzam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it for him in such a way that he will have the capacity to drink a lot of Zamzam. Someone questioned me that what is the Islamic status with regards to carrying Zamzam at home. Is that jais or not jais? Subhanallah, of course it is jais. We want to take and classify everything towards bid'ah or something to be makruh. Of course it is jais, and not only is it jais, it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said every time Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would come to Makkah, she would carry a lot of Zamzam with her back to Madinatul Munawwarah. And she would say that this is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ka'ab bin Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he came and when he performed Hajj, it is said that he took 12 big containers of Zamzam back home. Hazrat Ka'ab. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam wrote a letter and gave it to Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an to give it to Hazrat Sahal radiallahu ta'ala an, who was in Makkatul Muqarrama. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that if this letter reaches you in the morning, then don't wait for the evening. If my letter reaches you in the evening, then don't wait for the morning. Immediately send to me Zamzam. Send it to me in Madinatul Munawwara. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to drink Zamzam, your dua is also accepted, and whatever dua you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it at that time. So many mashayikh, so many buzurgani deen, so many people have been treated only through the water of Zamzam. And when you drink it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you shifa. So at the time of Zamzam, and when you are inside the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept your dua. And when you stand on the mountain of Safa, when you stand, take time out. I know we have to complete our sa'i, Safa and Marwa, 7 times. But take time out if you are in ihram to, subhanallah, make dua, because Allah will accept your dua whilst you're on the mountain of Safa. Allah will accept your dua whilst you are on the mountain of Marwa. Safa or Marwa, par bhi Allah paak dua kabool karte hain. Maqam-e-Ibrahim. Also at Maqam-e-Ibrahim, whatever dua you make, Allah will accept. Now these are areas that are inside Masjidul Haram. And now the ulama say, when you go outside Masjidul Haram in different areas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept your dua. One is in the area of Mina. Mina. And the name Mina, when you look at how it's spelled, when you go to Makkah, it's Muna. If you've seen it, it's sometimes M-U-N-A. And on some areas it is Mina, M-I-N-A. The name Mina, the ulama say, comes out from the word tamanna. Tamanna yatamanna, to have an ambition, or to desire something, or to hope for something. It is said that when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was given instructions how to perform Hajj, and then after completing Hajj, Jibreel Amin came to him and would say to him that, have you got tamanna of anything else? Have you got the desire? Do you wish for anything else? And the words that were used were of tamanna yatamanna, and the word tamanna yatamanna, one word from it that is derived is also Mina. What is it? Mina. And at that time Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam said that my only ambition, my only tamanna, making it easy for us to understand, is that Allah would give me a place in Jannat where I came down from. So this is my tamanna. It is said from that point, this area was known as Mina, from the word of tamanna of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an would say with regards to the land of Mina, he said that the Mina is like the womb of a lady. When this child inside, and when the child grows, subhanallah, there is an expansion, the womb becomes big enough for the child, and it is said that Mina is like that for the Hujjaj. No matter how many Hujjaj come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every single haji the capacity, and he will fit in that area of Mina. This is the quality and some of the main features of that area, which is the very first platform for the Hujjaj to start off the Hajj, which is Mina. After that, we come to Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa may be dua kabool hoti hai. Muzdalifa, izdalifa, yazdalifu. The word comes out from the Arabic language zalfun, and zalfun means something that is nearby. This name that is given to Muzdalifa is because it is close. It is close also to Mina. It is close also to Mina. And it is also said that because in Muzdalifa you combine the two salat, Maghrib and Isha. That is why it is known as Muzdalifa. But majority of the scholars hold the opinion that it is known as Muzdalifa because Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam, when he came down from Jannah, where did he go? Where did he land? In? Ye kaha? Lestal mein to nahi aaye the. Kaha par? Nahi. In the land of Hind. In the land of Hind. Some say in the area of Sri Lanka. Some say in the area of Sri Lanka. But it was somewhere in Asia, in Hind. That is why Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that Hind is blessed with great scholars. Hind is blessed with great scholars. That is why even some of the Arabs, when they come to Hindustan, and that covers everything in all Afghanistan, Pakistan, that entire area was Hind. And it is said that some of the scholars that are there, subhanallah, and Hind and Sindh were two brothers. What were they? Ye jo Sindh ka ilaqa hai aur Hind ka ilaqa hai. Hind and Sindh were two brothers. And when you go into the history, it is said that Kabul and all the famous names of the famous cities in Pakistan, Kabul and I forget so many other names, they were again names of individuals that were living there, and this was the name that was given to that city. So Hind and Sindh were both brothers. And this is where they get the name Hind and Sindh. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came in the area of Hind, and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam came where? Come on, everybody should know that. Ji? Jeddah. Where? Jeddah. In the Arabic language, Jeddah means grandmother. The reason why the city is named Jeddah is because Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam first came there, and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam is also resting in that area. And so when Adam alayhi salam came and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam came, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was repenting all the time, and he did not meet the wife. And it is said where he met the wife was in the area of Muzdalifah, when Jibreel Amin said to him that Allah has instructed you to go and perform Hajj. It is at that moment when he got to Muzdalifah, and Izdalifah Yazdalifu means to come very close to each other, close to each other. And for the first time, subhanallah, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam found Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam in Muzdalifah. That is why the ulama say that Muzdalifah is an area of Allah's great rahmah. Whatever dua you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. And it is quite difficult, that little period of time that you just spend in the night, and you combine Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha, and you pray Fajr there. And it's an open area, very, very difficult. Subhanallah, and a lot of mujahada is done in Muzdalifah. And when you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. Inshallah, we will continue with this. We still have Arafat, and the reason why Arafat gets his name, inshallah, in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. Rabbi kfir warham wa anta khayru rahimin. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.